Good morning. We are Roy and Min. We have been serving in Japan. Thank you so much for your prayers and support. Today's scripture reading, God's word, is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay.
If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever it set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near you now." But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its street and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate." And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day.
Amen. Thank you, Ryan Mann. Appreciate your reading. Good morning, Calvary.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Wanted to share some family news with you all before we start to get into this text for today. If you remember, even if you're here last week, we had a time of prayer after the service for Gary Wade. So Gary and Martha Wade attend our church, their daughter Bailey. And Gary had a heart transplant recently in the last couple weeks. And sadly, due to complications from that, on Friday night, Gary passed away. And so just grieving with their family, who's already been through some great loss in these last couple years as well. And so we just continue to pray for them. These things, these are those moments that you don't understand. But we pray and we trust in the Lord, and we pray for them. Gary and Martha are people who have made some of the most incredible impact in young people's lives, and it's been just so beautiful to see the impact that they've had in a lot of people's lives. Gary lived a beautiful, full, rich life of making disciples and serving the Lord, and so we're grateful for his life. And we grieve with them deeply. So just encourage you. We'll pray even now, but I couldn't help but be thinking about the stuff we're gonna be talking about today as that passage, you know, as this passage that was just read. And this is like, Gary made his life about this. Gary made his life about making disciples and caring for people and serving Jesus. And so I'm grateful for him and his life, and just prayerful for their family. So would you just join me in praying for them? Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you just grieving alongside the Wade family, Lord. We pray for Martha, we pray for Bailey, we pray for Marcos as well, God, and pray for their extended families, God. And I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring them just your presence, your peace, Lord, your power, your love and care for them. Lord, I pray that they would just know that they are loved. I pray that they would know deeply that their dad, their husband, was a wonderful man of God. a wonderful man who impacted lives so, so well, God. So thank you. Thank you for the life of Gary Wade. And we pray for his family now, God. And for us, for those here that were impacted by him, I pray just for your comfort and peace as well, Lord. So we look to you, we fix our eyes on you. In the good, the bad, the tragic, Lord, we fix our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I said, as we transition to considering this passage, just this passage about, okay, Jesus saying, go out, make disciples, go out and preach the kingdom, go out, be present with people, be praying that we would pray for a harvest. We would pray for a harvest, that we would live a life that is meaningful, that we would live a life that meaningful like Gary lived. And we're grateful for that life. And I pray that we would be encouraged in some way, right? That we would be emboldened in some way to live a life of purpose. And I can't help but also, as Jesus sends out workers to say, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few, that there is an urgency, that this life is temporary. These lives, these bodies we live in are fragile, but we have an eternity that is kept by God, that we are assured by God that we have an eternity with him. And so may our focus be both on our lives in the here and now, but recognize that we have an eternity with God. And we have friends, we have neighbors that don't know God in this way, and that the time is now, the time is urgent for this message of the gospel. And so may we take this seriously in this moment. And this passage of scripture is the passage of scripture, Luke 10:2 is in there, where we have this 10:02 prayer time that we talk about a lot here at our church. And so just want to encourage you even now that this is a passage of scripture about prayer. So in this story, there's all sorts of stuff. It talks about being sent out. It talks about lambs among wolves. It talks about finding a person of peace, this blessing that you give to people, prayers of blessing. It talks about wiping the dust from your feet, some kind of intense stuff at the end. But really the through line of all of this is that we are a people of prayer, that we pray for this, prayer and dependence that God's Spirit would be working and moving and changing and transforming people's lives. And so what I want to encourage you to do, it says, what this passage says to do is pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the harvest, because the harvest is great, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. So I'd encourage you even now, like set an alarm on your phone. So do this, I set an alarm on my phone that every day we pray this prayer at 10:02, whether it's AM or PM. I'm kind of an AM guy. I'm not a big 10:02 PM guy. I like to be sleeping by then. That's my preferred time to be asleep. But it's just for you to set that alarm. And even if that means you have to do that right now, if you don't hear anything else I say, I'm honestly fine with that if that means you're praying every day at 10:02 a.m. That's the fruit. The prayer is the work. And so just get that going and pray for that. And so we'll talk more about that kind of prayer as we continue today. But again, this is all about prayer. But if you're still listening and not on your phone, or not using this as an excuse to do something else in your phone, Snapchatters or whatever, but we will continue with some more from this passage. So we look at verses 1 and 2 as it says, pray for more workers of the harvest of disciples. So just a reminder, the Lord, verse 1, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places that he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. So this is what we're to pray for. We are to pray that there would be more workers in the fields of harvest. Now, this harvest is not actually about crops. This is a metaphor for people. Hopefully you're able to get there relatively quickly, that we are praying for people to know the message, the good news of Jesus, that his kingdom is here and it is coming again as well, that he's come and he's coming. We want to know that the king is here. And so we're praying for this. And this is not just about missionaries overseas. Hear this clearly, my friends. This passage is not about missionaries going overseas. It is about them, yes, and it's about you here. This message is for us. Okay, we are praying that God would send workers into the field of harvest. Those fields of harvest might be across the street from your house, across the classroom, across the office, across the town square, or across the world. I don't know where God is sending you or calling you, but he's calling and sending you somewhere. Okay, this is for all of us, that we would pray for those workers to go out and to go out everywhere around the world. And I like that part of how it's Jesus was sending them ahead of him. So they're going out to towns ahead of him. So they go out first and they're praying. He says, go out to all these towns and pray. Pray for more people to come. And then also Jesus is coming behind them. So they're going, they're praying, they're telling people about him, they're healing people, they're feeding people, doing these sort of works of the kingdom, right? They're doing these good works for people, but then Jesus is coming behind them and Jesus is the one that's gonna make the change. Just like in the harvest fields that Jesus, people come and they can plant seeds, they can water, they can do all sorts of things, but we aren't the ones that actually make things grow. We don't make fruit appear. We can't make plants grow. That it is God who does that work. And so they're going ahead of Jesus, and then he's going to come behind them, just as he would do with us. The harvest is ripe or great, but the workers are few. This is my little farm. I basically kind of live on a semi-farm here. This is my house. This was a harvest from our house. We have a lot of fruit trees. Brandon Elrod, certified arborist of Calvary Church, has said I have a tree green thumb, but I actually say no. It is because I ask him for advice about everything and he comes and helps me with things. So thank the Lord for that worker of the harvest. But it's just like we get like a lot of stuff, man. We got a lot of different trees. We have lemons, two different kinds of lemons, two different kinds of limes. We've got three different kinds of oranges, two different kinds of avocados. It's just all sorts of trees everywhere. And there's chickens occasionally roaming around as well. And so it's a good time. But when the harvest comes, it's like, you know, with citrus trees, especially, does anybody have a citrus tree? You know, I don't know. It all comes at once, right? You just like, you got nothing, and then all of a sudden it all seems to come at once, especially with the oranges and lemons, at least in our experience. And it's like, we don't have enough either harvesters, but we also don't have enough like eaters of the harvest as well. And so that's what all these bags that you saw in that picture were bringing it to work and being, who else wants some, you know? So like trying to share that harvest with others because the harvest is great, but the workers and maybe in our house, the eaters of it are few and we need more. We need more people eating of that harvest and sharing in that. That it's a true thing. It can come quickly and the timing matters. And so we think about how God has called us into that harvest. It takes a lot of hands. It takes a lot, all of us together. And when I think about the way that God works with a harvest, so like if you think of like a big wheat field full of a great harvest to be harvested, right? And so then you've got all this and you think, a lot of times I think we can get into this mindset of numbers and ROI, return on investment, efficiency. And so we start to want to think like giant harvesting machines and tractors and things like that. But occasionally I think God works that way, right? We see this in the big sort of Billy Graham crusades, harvest crusades, that kind of stuff. You see, God will work through kind of a large scale harvest at times. But most of the time, God works through people. Okay, and individuals. God works, we say the gospel moves at the speed of relationships. That it's all about these individual relationships, people caring for people, getting to know people, loving people, caring for them, and being able then to share with them the good news. And then at times being able to reap that harvest of God work in their life, being able to see people coming to know Jesus. And it's kind of walking through that vineyard and picking those grapes. And we need more people in that harvest field. But we need people to have this mindset of making disciples. So, right, as we share our faith and someone receives Christ, we're making disciples but also making disciples who make disciples, right? We make disciples. We don't just want them to receive the fruit and just hold the fruit and be happy they have the fruit, but we want to receive the fruit and then continue to share that fruit with others, right? That we kind of turn addition into multiplication in that way, that we want to see more and more people making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. But it's not, again, it's not our intellect. It's not our witty arguments. It's good to learn things. It's good to know, to be able to defend the faith that we have, to be able to explain things to people and help them with their questions. But it is the Holy Spirit of God that works in them. So we pray. And that's why I think prayer and dependence is this through line through this, that we continue to pray and pray and pray. And there's two prayers that I pray every day that are biblical prayers that I pray every single day. The first is the Lord's Prayer. If you find it in Matthew 6, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. I pray the Lord's Prayer every single day before I get out of bed in the morning. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, our sin. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And don't let us yield to temptation. Keep us from the evil one, Lord. Deliver us from evil. And we pray that. I pray that every single day. I stand here and tell you that I think praying the Lord's Prayer every single day is probably the number one way that you can turn your mind and will to be more along the lines of the mind and will of our God. Pray that every single day. I challenge you to do it. And then I challenge you to pray a second prayer, which is this one, Luke 10:2. Set an alarm on your phone, 10:02 a.m., and pray this prayer every single day. So I pray it. And sometimes, sometimes it's like I'm in a setting that it's like I can't be stopping everyone else and saying, let's pray for this. And so I just sort of close my eyes for a moment. Lord, I pray for workers for the harvest. God, send more workers into your harvest. And then I'll kind of move on, right? So sometimes it's as brief as that. Other times, most of the time, what I try to do is like allow myself to be interrupted, okay? So I learned this prayer from Greater Europe Mission. So missions agency, GEM, as we call it, Greater Europe Mission. Matt Doan and I were at a conference where they were kind of like telling us about their ministry when we didn't really know much about it other than supporting a few missionaries that were with them. And we were at this, in a little coffee house in Paris, actually. And it was full of like GEM workers and some others that were learning, and they're sharing all about what they do in Paris and how they reach out to people there. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, it was like everyone's phones just started, like alarms just started going off and ringing and chiming. And I was kind of like, ah, is this like some sort of French Amber Alert situation? Is this like a national emergency? What's happening right now? And then they all stopped and said, oh yeah, okay, sorry guys, let's stop. Let's just pray the 10:02 prayer. And they prayed in that moment for this. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Like, that's incredible to see all of these people stop everything that they're doing in the midst of that moment. And so it was then that I said, okay, I want to bring that back to Calvary. I want us to do that too. I want that to be something that we would share in. So I want to encourage you in that. But as I pray that prayer, I pray at 10:02, I say, okay, Lord, I just ask, first of all, Lord, that you would send workers into the harvest in whatever way. I pray for Calvary Church, that we would be sent out, Lord, that you would send out more workers. I pray for our Calvary missionaries around the world. And then, because I learned it from Jim, I say, Lord, I pray for more workers for Greater Europe Mission, and I pray for those that are working in the mission field with them. Lord, I pray for, then what I do is then I transition to say, and Lord, I pray for me. Lord, send me. Would you send me as a worker into your harvest field? God, I don't want to just pray this for others. I want to be sent as well. In whatever way you would send me, Lord. And so that's the way I pray that. And I'd encourage us to do that, to let God interrupt your day and to say, I'm going to pray this prayer. And that's what, because I mean, the Bible straight up is just like, go out and pray this prayer. That's what I want you to do. So let's be about how the Bible encourages us to pray. Because we pray, again, for others, but we really need to pray also, as I said, for ourselves as we go into that harvest of making disciples. Look again back into Luke 10, verse 3. It says, "Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves." Okay, that's intense. Okay, so then verse 4, "Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road." Now, a lot of times these kind of passages of scripture, we have to look at them and read them with a sense of certain times the scripture is descriptive and certain times the scripture is prescriptive. And certain times the scripture is also prescriptive, but in a way that you can apply to your life today. We're not these actual disciples being sent out by Jesus into villages where he's then actually in his incarnate form going, right? And that kind of thing. So I think we take these sorts of things and we say, okay, Lord, how does this apply to me? I want to live this out the best I can. How can I live out this passage the best I can? I'd say one way is to simplify, right? And depend on God, not yourself, not your money, not your intellect, not your ability to sort of have certain levels of influence or whatever that might be, but trust in God, simplify. The other is to pray. Why do we pray? Because it's scary. It says it's scary. I'm sending you out as a lamb among wolves. That sounds scary. I don't know how many of you would raise your hand. You can if you want, but does evangelism feel scary to you? Sharing your faith with people sometimes is scary or nervous or awkward. Yeah, it's to me too. To Pastor Eric, it makes me nervous. Okay, sometimes when I sort of feel an opportunity coming, I'm like, okay, Lord, here we go. You know, like that kind of moment. Because for me, I get some opportunities, like my opportunities come often where it's like, so you meet someone new and it's, so what do you do for a living? Once that topic comes up, it's like, oh boy, here we go. Let's see what the reaction's like, right? Because there's this moment once you say you're a pastor where you can kind of just see what you're dealing with. And, you know, like, oh boy, they're instantly like the over-the-ear headphones come on the plane. And other times it's just like, oh, interesting, cool, you know? But anyway, you can get a variety of responses to that. But it's always a form of an open door. But I'd encourage you to consider, what are some things you can say in the midst of just kind of chatting about yourself that can open a door? I'm just involved in my church. You know, I love doing stuff there, whatever. It just kind of brings out an open door of opportunity in some way. But we pray because also it's scary and that we need the power of God with us. We need God's peace and power with us as we would go and go out and be able to pray to the Lord of the harvest that we could be part of this harvest field. Just last week, Mac talked about the cost of following Jesus, that there's a cost that comes in this, that there's things that are sacrificed, things that we turn away from to turn towards the mission of God. And this is part of that even, that we pray this is not going to be easy. But maybe even knowing that you will face some opposition can comfort you at some level, because it's like, just know it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. But know that the God of the universe is with you in this. And so we simplify, we pray, we don't worry about all the things that we need, but we just look to Jesus. And then there's this interesting part. I was going to talk about this phrase. Because when I think about simplifying, I also don't want you to think about having to be that harvester machine, right? When you think about the fields, like you don't have to be this person that's, I don't know, that's how I used to think like always growing up too, where it's just like, I have to make the biggest impact of all impacts and be the greatest, whatever. And that's kind of self-centered and not great. But like what I want us to do is to be faithful and to be obedient and to love people for actually who they are. And so I like this phrase of each one reach one. We've talked about this before here at Calvary, each one reach one, that each one of us would reach one with the gospel. And so we fix our eyes on the Lord and then on the mission that he's placed us on. And we say, okay, Lord, who's that person in my life? Maybe it's someone I already know. Maybe it's someone I get to know. That each one of us would feel this sense of not a guilt burden, but like a burden of just wanting to share this good news of Jesus with someone in our lives, that each one of us would reach one with the good news of Jesus. And then I pray that is each one then, and then there's another one, right? And then you're praying for another one who's also reaching one. We're making disciples who make disciples. And part of that process that Jesus outlines here is that we would be praying for a person of peace that would join you in making disciples. And I'll explain this a little more just as we read this text, verses 5-7. Whenever you enter someone's house, first say, "May God's peace be on this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home, stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. So as the disciples are going out, they're just supposed to trust in God, not trying to go move around, try and get the better house or something, you know, and like, "Oh, I'm gonna go to that one." You know, just trust in God where he's planted you, trust in him there. And then while you're there, pray a blessing upon these people. And as that blessing is received, this is like likely someone that will be joining you in this. This is a this word "person of peace" or this term, it's something that it is taught in like missions or evangelism training to think about this passage in this way, that you would have a person of peace that you would find as you share the gospel with people, or as you're living your life as a follower of Jesus, that there to be somebody that is this person of peace. So someone that received this. So you might be walking around praying blessings over people, praying blessing prayers over your neighborhood, your work, your school, the different places that God has you in your life. And you pray for God's blessing upon people. And then you can kind of recognize when people that either that you already know or that you come to know that seem to respond in some way, that then you can kind of engage more with, and you work with a person of peace, and then they can kind of share that with others. And so it's a way of thinking about a life of missions, but I think it's a way of us to think about a life of being a Christian, which should include like sharing our faith and testifying of who we are in Christ. All right, so somebody, I have this friend of mine who lives in San Clemente, who lives this out, this kind of thing out. Like what he does is he walks around the base of the San Clemente Pier, that area called the Pier Bowl in San Clemente. And he's got kids that surf, so they go surfing, and he just walks around this area. And he'll walk kind of around the different little coffee shops or restaurants, up on the grassy areas, kind of around the base of the pier, looking at the waves, and then out into the pier as well. And he just decides to walk around, and he's praying. And he's praying that whole time, prayer walking that area. He said, "Okay, Lord, I'm just gonna sort of place myself in this area and pray for the people that I see." And so as he's seeing people, he's just quietly in his mind, just praying for them, praying for different people. He'll stop and kind of look out, maybe get into a conversation about the waves with somebody or something. And then as he's doing that, he'll just ask, like if somebody seems just receptive to conversation, he'll just, you know, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And he'll pray a blessing prayer over them. And then, you know, he might just, as that person then is receptive to that, just engage in more relationship or invite them to be part of a discovery Bible study. Like, "Hey, would you wanna like study the Bible with me a little bit?" And they just do this real simple way of studying the Bible, of those just read a short passage. What does it mean and how do I live it out? How can I act out what it says in my life in some way? And so it's just this very simple thing that he does. And it's like incredible. It's just been incredible fruit in his life for that. And I think the way, like something I like to pray as I walk around that I've talked about here as well, is this prayer called the Chow Prayer. Now, I joke because I've always said this is like the worst acronym because it's just like, why? I was like, if you want to eat in evangelism, you know, I don't know. Like, it's just like, I don't know, man, but it's just a terrible, like the word "chow" is bad, but the points are good, okay? So I think about, this is what you would pray as you would walk around. So think about your life. Where could you walk around? Could you walk around Old Town Orange or Old Town Tustin or, I don't know, Barnes and Noble? I don't know, or wherever it is, or your workplace. Like, what is it? Like, where's a place you could just be walking around and praying for people? And you pray, "Lord, give me courage. Give me courage to do this because it's scary. Lord, give me a heart of love for these people, because I could think of this as just people that don't know you, and you might even have this kind of sense of people who aren't Christians are like the enemy or something, you know? People that think differently than you are the enemy. They're not actually, and God wants you to love them. So God, open up my heart for them. So give me courage, Lord, give me a heart for them. And then Lord, open up opportunities, please, God, open doors. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me an opportunity to be able to talk with someone about you today. And then give me the words to say. So when you do," did I hear it? Let's stop. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord of the Harvest, here at 1002. We ask you, Lord of the Harvest, to send workers into the harvest. May you send people from Calvary. We pray for those missionaries that are sent overseas. We pray for us to be sent across the street. We pray for our brothers and sisters with Jem that showed us this prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would send us. Send us as workers into the fields, God. Give us courage, give us heart, give us opportunities and words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what we do. That's what we pray. As simple as that. We knew that might come. I actually set my alarm, but I don't set it on Sundays because my phone's usually down there at my seat and I'm usually up here at 10:02 a.m. and I just worry that it'll just continue to go off forever. But because some of your phones go off forever anyways, just so you know. But we'd prefer they don't always in here. So just wanting us to be able to pray this prayer, pray for these things, this chow prayer. Memorize that chow prayer. Take a picture of it. Think about that. And then I was looking at, there's this organization called Novo. It's a missions agency. They do a lot of this kind of training. And I knew they did some training on on this whole thing of a person of peace. And I was looking up what they had on a person of peace, and I found that they actually have a worse acronym than my acronym, okay? So their acronym, and I'll tell you how I talk to them in a minute, but they're amazing. They do incredible work. But they have this acronym called HORSE. And I'm like, what in the world? You know, so this is like a horse prayer for people who are persons of peace. So it just describes persons of peace. Like what would a person of peace be like? This acronym describes them. And I'll tell you in a minute, but I called my friend who works for Novo and I'm like, dude, what's the deal with this horse acronym? You know, like what does it mean? Is it supposed to be connected to something? Like, I don't know that we'd go out on like chariots of fire. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. But, and he's like, dude, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why it's horse, but it just is. So it's kind of like chow. So, but horse, just for you to get a sense of what is a person of peace? It's someone that's hungry spiritually. They're open relationally. Okay. It's a sense that someone is a little bit seeking, but they also are willing to talk to you. It's not the person that you walk up to and they're like, and you might say, hey, can I pray for you? And they're just, get away from me, you freak. You know, that's not the person of peace, okay? They're open relationally and hungry spiritually. They're responsive to discipleship. They share in their own community. Because often that person of peace is someone that, as you share with them, they would invite other people like, oh yeah, let's all study the Bible together. And that's what's happened with this friend of mine in St. Clemente, where just more people, more people, more people. And this is what happens around the world too. And it's beautiful. And then they might be someone that emerges in leadership in some way as well. So we pray the chow prayer. We pray for persons of peace. And then we also finally just pray to be welcomed. We pray to be welcomed. These last verses, 8 through 12, we're actually going to talk about these last verses a little more next week. So I'm just going to touch on it briefly. But it's this whole part. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat what's set before you. Heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God's near you. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into the streets and say, we wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that, this is a gnarly verse, you guys, to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you, even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on judgment day. I kind of had like a version of a verse 11 in maybe like a little bit nicer of a way, but sorry, Lord, if this is, I'm coming against your word, but I just feel like we could also say this. This is a little bit, maybe that's not prescriptive for us today, but I was thinking about something like, you're talking to somebody, it's this friend in your life. Like, I've got somebody really, really important in my life where I've said this, a version of this. Like, I'm not gonna keep coming around and talking about this with you anymore. I just want you to know God's near, God loves you, I believe God's real, and I think this stuff matters, but I'll let this go now. And you move on. Because it's like, there's a moment where it's like, okay, you've done your part with this. Now God continues to work in their life and he might then open up an opportunity for you. And there's a level where you can kind of check in or something. But there's a sense of this, of just, okay, we're praying to be welcomed in this and then praying for the Holy Spirit to be the one that does that work in their life. Because you see, Jesus is actually in this part, he's actually telling you that people will reject the message. There will be people who reject the message. He says what to do when you're rejected here, because he's saying you will be rejected. So don't be afraid of that at some level. Almost assume it. Assume it will come. And assume that you're not the one that saves people. Assume that you're not the one that, you know, you went to enough classes, as good as our own classes that we have right now on apologetics are. We believe in that stuff. But that's not going to make someone become a Christian. The Holy Spirit of God's work in their life will, okay? So we pray to the Lord of the harvest. We trust in him. We rely on him. We completely depend on him. We pray. We do the works of the kingdom, healing, feeding, caring for people. We find a person of peace. We pour into them, and we present Jesus to them. So I just challenge you to pray that 10:02 prayer. Pray that every day. And we're about to transition here into a couple more songs of worship through singing. And as we do that, I'd encourage you, if we have prayer leaders in the room, to come to the prayer points, and then you to come forward to these prayer points to pray for, first of all, pray for whatever. The prayer points are always for whatever you need, whatever is going on in your life. Come receive prayer. We can always receive prayer for something in our life. But also just pray for the power and peace of God as you would consider your life in making disciples, okay? What is your call? What is your responsibility when it comes to making disciples who make disciples? And Lord, would you give me a peace about this? Because this is terrifying. This is awkward. I don't feel comfortable in this, Lord. So please give me a peace and give me people of peace to help join me and give me your power. Lord, empower me and then show your works of power in people's lives around me. All right, amen? We're willing to kind of take on these challenges, but take them on in trust of the power of God. So let me pray over you, and we'll continue to worship. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we consider these messages that include challenges for us of how to live in obedience to you, Lord, I pray that you would open our heart in love for people in the way that you love them, God. That we would love people, that we'd have a heart for them, that you'd embolden us then, God. And then, Lord, just I ask that you'd open up opportunities for me, for my brothers and sisters here, God. May you open up opportunities for the gospel. And may we see, God, people that are in your kingdom because of, Lord, the way you've empowered us today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.